speaker is Donna Caphart. Donna serves as Executive Director for Penn State Hershey Pro Wellness Center. Established in 2003, the center is well recognized as a thought leader and resource for program development and technical assistance related to evidence-based programs and interventions in physical activity and nutrition. Donna's responsibilities include leading the center, establishing sound working relationships with agencies, organizations, schools, and community groups, managing the staff, and maintaining a climate which attracts, keeps, and motivates top-quality staff. She ensures that adequate funds are available to permit the center to carry out its work. Employed by Penn State College of Medicine at Hershey Medical School for 21 years, Donna has a passion for wellness, health promotion, and disease prevention. She has managed several NIH-sponsored clinical trials in behavioral intervention topics such as asthma, hypertension, and obesity. In 2009, Donna became the executive director of Penn State Hershey Pro Wellness Center. Donna?
Thank you and good morning. And those emphases were not mine, but thank you for your enthusiastic introduction. I want to first recognize the team that was involved in this research, Dr. Krasniewski, Jody McCullough, and Barb Blatt. Jody and Barb are in the audience, and they are an excellent group of people that I'm happy to get to work with. Would like to say that I have nothing to disclose. So we already talked a little bit about the organization that I work for. We are part of the division. We are a division within the Department of Public Health Sciences at Penn State College of Medicine, located in Hershey. So one in three children are overweight or obese. In Pennsylvania, we are the 20th most obese state in the nation. This study is about the so-called fat letters, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity to read. There was a great publication in Pediatrics just a couple months ago. But the origin of these letters, in 2005, the IOM asked the federal government to help design a BMI measurement within schools. And really, you know, it was a great program. It's a great idea. It was designed to do surveillance, but also screening. So surveillance, for those who are public health professionals, but to get a sense of the scope of the problem, and then to be able to actually screen these kids. So that was the foundation of BMI screening in public schools. In Pennsylvania, work began in 2004. It was fully implemented in the 2006-2007 school year. And this is kind of the state of where things are in our country. The cartoon says, you know, the physician saying that to these parents, you're saying that your child's of average weight, even though he's quite overweight, and the parents are responding, but overweight is average. So we're below 50%, but not by a whole lot. And this is really the scope, like, sums up the problem. People think that overweight is normal. So in the state of Pennsylvania, the growth screening that happens in schools allows nurses to monitor the growth and development pattern of students, allows notification to parents of screening results, and allows them or suggests to them that they share the findings with their healthcare provider. In Pennsylvania, school districts are required to submit aggregate data at the school level to the Department of Health. And in Pennsylvania, this was in growth screening data from 10-11, 33% of school-aged children are measured overweight or obese. So at this time, take a little stretch and stand up, please. Of course, when I made this slide, I pictured the room would be full. But that has to happen on a Monday or Tuesday, I think. So if you're in a gray state, you can sit down. Those of you who are standing should represent 25% of states. Over 25% of states implement BMI screening and parent notification programs in their schools. You can sit down if you're from a yellow, teal, or green state on the map. And those of you who remain standing represent the four states who screen kids every year for BMI. So, lucky you. You can sit down. So the objective of our study, so I kind of glossed over that, but really only 4 out of 50 states in the country are reporting BMI in public schools to parents every year. So our objective was to improve this letter. We have a BMI letter that's going out to parents, and it's been around, again, since 2006, 2007, and we wanted to make it better. So we did 2 phases in this study. Phase 1 was a qualitative study to get, you know, some baseline revisions of the letter, and then phase 2 was a quantitative study to evaluate the letter. So our methods for phase 1, we did structured interviews of parents from 6 different schools. We asked them for feedback on the standard level letter and what we started out as an expert revised letter. So we talked to pediatricians, we talked to school nurses. We had a pretty good idea of how to revise the letter, but we took that revision and the standard letter and asked parents for their feedback. And then we did interviews with parents to get their feedback. And these were the 2 letters that we compared them. You're not supposed to really be able to read them, but just I think some things jump out visually right away. This was the standard letter and the revised letter. So our phase 1 results, 93% of our respondents were females. This kind of gets to the feedback that we had in the other study. It seems like you're often talking to children's mothers. We sent 300 letters. We had 42 calls back. 37 of the interviews were completed. I don't know, I was pretty happy with a 12% response rate. Some of you might not be, but having done this for a while, that's kind of typical. That was our sample. And this was the letter that they saw. Let me go back. I'm sorry. I need to talk to you a little bit about what we did. So based on that feedback in phase 1, we personalized the letter and pointed out the child's name in 5 different places. That was something different than what was happening before. We gave a graphical representation of weight status. So these are categories of underweight, healthy weight, overweight, and obese to try to get them a picture of, wow, that is kind of what my child looks like. We gave them the date of the screening. One of the things that we know a lot about from school nurses is it takes them months to do these screenings. So sometimes kids, their child might have been screened in September, but by the time the school nurse gets through the entire school, the letters aren't mailed until January. So by now, Joey has gone through a growth spurt, and he's at least an inch taller. And so parents get upset because they think, well, you know, he doesn't look like that, but back in September he did. So that was an important thing. We wanted to include the date of the screening on there. We did a definition of BMI using the CDC definition. We included the risks of being overweight and obese. This was feedback that we got from parents of what they thought was important, that maybe it would matter if I knew what the risks were of being overweight or obese. We provided resources for where they could get help, and we suggested that they talk to their healthcare provider or school nurse to get more help. So this was our revised letter. So then we went into phase 2, and in phase 2, we randomized schools. There were 16 schools that participated. We tried to balance the groups and match them on free and reduced lunch, grade served, and number of students. So we had 8 schools that were assigned to distribute the standard letter. So now we knew, we felt like we had a better letter, but we still needed evidence to compare it. So 8 schools got the standard letter that the state suggests, and 8 schools got the expert revised letter that had been modified based on feedback in phase 1. We distributed a total of 8,624 letters. We heard back from 385 parents, and you can see how they were divided. So we heard from more of the expert revised letter participants. And the point of this was to assess their intention and predicted outcomes based on the letters. So here's a look at our sample. We're very evenly distributed except for one group. If you look at the middle school group that received the BMI letter, we heard back from quite a few more people. And that was one school that sent the letter and the opportunity to participate electronically. And so that led to another idea that I'll tell you about in a little bit. But so we heard from a lot of those folks. And it happened to be that this town had looked a little different than some of the others, higher socioeconomic status. And so that's why that group also, they affected those numbers in terms of parent education status. So the results of that among parents of overweight or obese kids, because those are the ones that we really want to know about, we know that they have more potential to be taking action based on the results. Now, we're trending towards significance, and we have unadjusted data here because we don't have a big enough sample size, but feel like we know we're going in the right direction with this. So a discussion, this is the first attempt to get parent feedback in the revised BMI screening letter, and we're very happy about that we finally have information from parents to try to inform the letter. And the result is an improved BMI screening letter tool for schools. The limitations are that we had too small of a sample to be able to show big results and to be able to adjust this data in various ways. And a challenge, and I feel really passionately about this, is that the attitude that the public has about fat letters is really getting in the way of what these letters are supposed to be about. They're an awareness tool, and they're supposed to lead to disease prevention or treatment. And I really personally view them in the same way as I would hearing or screening letters that schools send out, that your child, you know, failed the vision test and needs to be seen by a professional to have their eyes examined, or your child can't hear and it's impairing in their education. To me, they're the same type of thing, but they don't necessarily have that stigma in the public in general. So our next steps, we're completing manuscripts to submit for publication. Our intention is to get this letter put out as the new letter for the Department of Health in Pennsylvania. And then because of what happened with the electronic notification, we have another project that we're starting where we're going to evaluate a group of people that get the letter electronically versus those that get it in the mail and see if there's a difference. One of the things that we heard in parent feedback is that they would like to see the letter in color, and they would like to have links put on the web, on the letter for resources. And of course, you can't do links in a letter, but electronically you can. And then the use of color would be possible electronically as well. I want to thank the APHA for accepting our work, and a special thanks to the Highmark Foundation for their funding. And here's where you can find us, and we'd love to hear from you. And that's it.